Today on Seculo, President Biden ratchets up the rhetoric against Russia.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We have a great show, a lot of great segments coming up for you to listen today. Will Haynes joining me in the studio right now. Later in the show, you're going to hear from some experts like Mike Pompeo. We're going to talk about what he's going through. We're also talking about the work we're doing in terms of life and what this all means in a post-Roe world. Will, people need to stay tuned.
That's right. So we are fortunate here at the ACLJ because of the support of the ACLJ members and community that we have experts like Mike Pompeo that can come on and really break down things like when you hear the President of the United States say things about nuclear Armageddon and what that means.
Yeah, so you are going to hear from him. Mike Pompeo, as Will said, due to your support of the ACLJ, which I encourage you. I always encourage this. Not only go to ACLJ.org to donate. We appreciate that. I really would appreciate it. Obviously, if you can, please do. But go there and read the incredible content. Go there and watch the incredible content put together by our team. People like Mike Pompeo or Rick Grenell, they're part of our team. These aren't just, you know, random contributors that you're seeing on TV talking heads. These are guys who are part of our team who are involved in the issues that we deal with each and every day and that you have to deal with. So go to ACLJ.org. You should read up on some of the stuff they've put out over the last few years. And there's years of content available there right now. I think people use that website. They use it, again, to donate and support. They use it sometimes to watch our daily broadcasts. But you should really go deep dive into the content that's there because it's really great. But today, you're going to hear from Secretary Pompeo specifically on things like what you said. When the President of the United States makes these sort of grandiose thoughts and threats of or threatens with nuclear war potentially coming to our soil and to, you know, coming from Russia and what this all means. And that's why, unlike a lot of organizations, we hire the best of the best. We find people who really know what they're talking about. So you're talking about a former Secretary of State who is part of our team who can really comment when stuff like this happens to hopefully give you not only maybe some comfort, but some understanding globally what it all means.
Also, we are going to be getting into some of the life issues that the ACLJ is working on. We always said that once the Supreme Court decides, and if they do decide to get rid of Roe versus Wade decision, that the fight doesn't end there. The fight begins there because then the states are going to have all different sorts of laws, all different sorts of restrictions or
non-restrictions. It's actually a lot more work, a lot more aggressive work that has to be done, like you said, on a state-by-state way. And look, even if your state had a trigger law or something that went into place, that doesn't mean that's permanently in place. For a lot of these states, we know this is going to be what happens to the ballot box. It's activated a lot of people, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, it's activated a lot of people to go vote and to get involved in this midterm election. And maybe more so, they maybe want to pitch that more than it is, but it's true and it's making a big impact. So we're going to break down that as well and hear about how we're doing this across the country because we are, again, going state by state with the ACLJ to make sure that these laws are either protected or new laws are being created.
And we started doing that even before the Dobbs decision came out. But what you're going to hear today is some of the direct action that's going on right now in states like Oklahoma and states like Kentucky where the left and Planned Parenthood and the big abortion lobby is pushing hard to try to get rid of some of these restrictions on abortion. And they're almost trying to relitigate Roe versus Wade. They're trying to have a bunch of mini Roe versus Wades across the country, much like in Roe versus Wade, where they found the right to abortion in the United States Constitution. They're now trying to do that same game plan again,
state by state,
in 50 different constitutions. So it's a real fight. Our attorneys are on it, but you're going to hear about some of that today as well.
Yeah, when their big hope that President Biden does what he says he's going to do and somehow figures out a way to codify Roe into law. We're going to talk about that and so much more on this broadcast. Again, I want to encourage you, if you're watching this on social media, like, share, do all those things. We want you to do that. So if you're watching on Facebook, like and share. If you're watching this on YouTube, give it a thumbs up. If you're watching on Rumble, hit the plus or the thumbs up, depending on which way you see it. And comment, make sure you're part engaged. But also, visit ACLJ.org, download the ACLJ app, get involved. Unlike a lot of sources you go to news, you can't really talk back. You can't really get involved. Here you can. You can call into our show, you can comment, you can do so many different things. But also, you can support the work of the ACLJ, which directly gets you involved in the fight. That is at ACLJ.org. Again, go to ACLJ.org to support the work today. See our incredible content. It's on there each and every day, brand new stuff. But also, you can support and make your donation if you can. We know it's hard right now. If you can, please do. welcome back to Secio, folks. We are joined by our senior counsel for global affairs, and the timing couldn't be better. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, I want to get to China in a minute, but I want to lead off with a question just directly, because the reporting on President Biden's remarks to this Democrat fundraiser, where he says if there's a use of a tactical nuclear weapon by Putin, he doesn't see any way around Armageddon. Just my direct question to you, I mean, is that really the only option, is nuclear holocaust if Putin takes that kind of step?
Jordan, these remarks were both odd in terms of where they were made, how they were made, yep. And exactly what he said. No, it's certainly not the only option. And for a president of the United States to use that language, frankly, it's seemingly kind of just wandering randomly in front of a group of donors, is deeply dangerous. That's not been reported. Vladimir Putin certainly read that. Those around Vladimir Putin have read that. Leaders around the world have read that. Our president's talking about that in this way. And the other thing that's odd, Jordan, is he uses like the passive voice as if he doesn't have any role in this. He's the president of the United States of America. To say that there's no other option, that this is just as if he's a passive victim of this, is deeply dangerous and frankly reflective of the weak Biden foreign policy for the first 20 months of their administration. No, there are many other ways this can proceed. But most importantly, there's a lot of work to do today to make sure that Vladimir Putin doesn't use that nuclear weapon.
And supposedly they've said, they've communicated to the Russians, I guess there's one diplomatic channel, they've said this is what would happen if you do this. But then he goes to this group of donors. To your point, I mean, if he honestly believes this, and his team believes this is where we could be potentially heading, don't you think he should be addressing all of us right now? Like right now, this minute. I mean, if this is how serious it is.
Of course. If President Biden believes that this is the precipice that we sit on and that there is very little that the United States can do to prevent it from going badly, and that the ramifications are as deep and as troubling and as unavoidable as he described, he should have been on TV the moment he came to believe that, speaking to the nation, speaking to the world about the seriousness of the moment that we are in. But frankly, I think this was just another example of President Biden just off the cuff, just kind of wandering around, just speaking just extemporaneously, saying things that no president has said in a fundraising event who didn't say it, at least from the White House podium, but more importantly, to your point, to the nation from the Oval Office in an evening presentation, in the way that every serious event has been handled by every president of the United States for decades and decades.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes it really tough for people to balance like how serious they should take. I mean, on one hand, we know it's serious when we're dealing with Russia, if it's serious if they use any kind of nuclear weapon, even if it's a tactical nuclear weapon, and it's certainly an escalation. But then to say, to jump to Armageddon, it's a huge jump. And I know our audience, I mean, they're tuning in droves because they're trying to figure out this balance, okay? They get the reporting, and they're like, what should I be doing right now? And I think if he keeps it at, that was, statement to Democratic donors, like you said, that's not an address to the nation. If you really honestly felt that way, I don't care about your partisan politics. You should be telling everybody that. But I do want to turn to, you're also a distinguished fellow with the Hudson Institute. You did this video series directly to the Chinese people, and it got the attention of the Chinese Communist Party. They got it in the letter. It was like it was like their version of a cease and desist. So tell people about this series.
I felt like it was important to make sure that, as we talked about the risk of the Chinese Communist Party, that the Chinese people knew that we loved them and were with them, and that we understood that not all of them wanted to take Taiwan, destroy Hong Kong, to torture Uyghurs in the West. And so I put together this little series. We've done two of them so far. I think there are three or four more. They're short. They're a couple, 3 minutes, and they speak directly to the Chinese people about where they find themselves and how it is the United States is prepared to assist them. And boy, I tell you, this irritated the Chinese Communist Party greatly. We got a letter that was sent to the Hudson Institute from the embassy, the Chinese embassy in the United States, basically saying, shut up. And then citing a poll that said that the Chinese people are happy. And it turns out this poll was conducted by a person at Harvard who'd been a former member of the Chinese Communist Party, as best we can understand. I assure you, Jordan, 90% of the Chinese people are not happy with their leadership. And I can also assure every one of your listeners that much like the ACLJ is staying in the fight and never gives up on this issue that matters so much to America, the Hudson Institute and me, we're going to stay at it, informing both the Chinese people and most importantly, American people about how we can continue our freedom and our liberty here at home.
Yeah, I mean, the second part of this that's troubling is that the poll that, I mean, I, just to make it clear, the poll that they, the Chinese Communist Party through their embassy in Washington cites in their letter saying, you know, stop doing these videos, is a Harvard poll. And then you look at the pollster and they've got direct ties to as a former member of the Chinese Communist Party saying they have 90% approval. I mean, even that number, like no government has 90% approval, even in a free and fair country. And, right, and Harvard stands behind that? I mean, that's pretty shocking.
You know, it's a good question. I haven't heard if Harvard has responded to this or not. I suspect that Harvard will be very quiet. Look, it kind of reminds me of some of the Democrat polling. They probably took a sample that didn't quite represent all of the Chinese people. They may well have found 10 and got 9 to say what they wanted them to say. But make no mistake about it, the work that America needs to do to protect itself includes making clear that we're not against the Chinese people, that we are only trying to preserve and protect the things that matter to us. And when you see Harvard, someone connected to Harvard put out a poll talking about something that is ludicrous on its face, it tells you how much this touched a nerve inside the Chinese Communist Party, and therefore how true it must be that 90% of the people aren't in fact happy with them.
You've got a new piece up at ACLJ.org. Harvard should answer for legitimizing the Chinese Communist Party. Back to this issue with President Biden's statements on this nuclear Armageddon, just because we've seen a lot of comments coming in to folks watching the broadcast, listening to the broadcast. How serious do you think they should take the statement? I mean, like we said, you know, it's one thing to make this statement meandering to a audience of donors, and if he doesn't do it, address the nation. But just from what you know about the situation, are we really potentially at that point of a nuclear Armageddon, or could they, by bad policies, walk us into that point?
I think that is absolutely true. I think American weakness encourages Vladimir Putin to take actions that he doesn't think will respond to in a way that will impose real costs on him. Right? We've talked about this, I think, a couple times, Jordan. This is all about the perception of risk in the head of Vladimir Putin. And the risk he's concerned about is his continued existence, his continued leadership, and then his effort to make greater Russia. And so as America falters or wanders around at fundraisers or makes statements and has people walk back what the president said, we enhance the likelihood that Vladimir Putin will think, well, I can just do this. I can use a battlefield or a tactical nuclear weapon in a way, and I can gain the upper hand when my military has failed. I think, Jordan, this is a serious moment. There's no doubt about that. I think what it requires is continued American resolve, continuing to push forward and provide the Ukrainians what they need. The more we demonstrate that we are not going to permit Vladimir Putin to push us around, to bully us, the less likely it is he will ultimately conclude that using a nuclear weapon will prove advantageous for him.
All right. As always, Secretary Pompeo, we appreciate this. The timing couldn't have been more perfect to have you on today to discuss this, because I think people are. I was at an event last night with a lot of finance folks, and they were talking one thing about the stock market. And they said, you know, it's one thing to talk about the stock market. It's another for this nuclear fallout. You know, who cares? So again, we always appreciate it. I want people to go to ACLJ.org to see your new piece, Harvard Should Answer for Legitimizing the Chinese Communist Party. Our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo, thanks for joining us today with that insight. And folks, we'll continue to take your phone calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. So we come back from this next break. We're going to hit a couple other topics. We're going to hit the Hunter Biden topic. You know, that's in the news. Again, it's all based off reporting. There hasn't been actual action as of time while I'm on the broadcast with you, as I'm talking to you right now, of any kind of legal action or indictment. But it certainly appears that there's at least what they're reporting is that there would be enough if they decide to indict. They still have prosecutorial discretion. So talk about a little of that. A little bit of Yeezy as well on life. And I want to take this moment when we're talking about a life as well to recognize one of our senior counsels at the ACLJ, our attorney Walter Weber, who I've known my entire life, and he has been dedicated to the fight for life. And he's receiving a huge award from the Christian Legal Society, the William Bentley Ball Award for Life and Religious Liberty. He's receiving it today in California. And so from all of us, the ACLJ, congratulations, Walter. And I'm just so glad he got to see in his career not just the overturning of Roe versus Wade, but this new opportunity. And I will tell you, folks, he is the best of the best in this field, in this world. And when it comes to writing briefs to the U.S. Supreme Court, you can take the words of the justices themselves of how great he is. So well-deserved reward, and I hope he enjoys being in California today. And certainly that's Walter Weber from our team at the ACLJ. And let me encourage you, as we talk about life for a minute there, as well at ACLJAction.org. That's ACLJAction.org. We've got a way for you to get involved in that attempt by the Biden administration to override current law, which prohibits the VA from being an abortion clinic, into turning VA hospitals into abortion clinics. But we need you to speak up. Go to ACLJAction.org. Doesn't cost you a thing, but we've got the tool ready for you to get your comment in. ACLJ Action. All right, welcome back to Secul, and we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me take this call quickly from Rick in Kentucky on line one on the Trump matter, and then we're going to get into, actually in Kentucky, some life issues. Hey, Rick.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And my quick question is, my understanding, you may have answered this, I'm sorry, but this goes to Judge Clarence Thomas. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, like the scheduling matter, right. I mean, so it goes to him. He will likely refer it to the entire court. Now, he's handling right now is when the DOJ has to respond, which is October 11th. But on a case of this magnitude, even though it is a procedural issue, I don't think they would handle it on their own. So, again, there's a lot of discretion. Listen, there's a huge call right now by the left to say, oh, Justice Thomas needs to be recused. This is procedural. It's not substantive to the case. It's important procedure. And lawyers, you know, we understand the procedure is very important, but it is not substantive. So, Rick, a good question there. But I think because if the court decides to take this up, it involves a former president, it's going to be the full court. Let me go right to Frank Manion in Kentucky as well, like Rick was calling in. Frank, we just filed an amicus brief with the Kentucky Supreme Court. Let's tell people about it.
Sure, Jordan. We filed our brief yesterday. We are supporting the Kentucky Attorney General, who is defending two pro-life laws that went into effect immediately upon the court's decision in Dobbs. Both these laws had been passed in the years when Roe held sway, and they each said that in the event that Roe was ever overruled, these laws would go into effect. Now, the one that's the most sweeping is the Human Life Protection Act, which prohibits most abortions in the state of Kentucky, although it does contain a fairly broad health and life mother exception, but basically left to the judgment of a medical of a doctor, basically. There's also a heartbeat law, which kicks into effect at the first detectable heartbeat or around 6 weeks. But obviously the Human Life Protection Act is even more restrictive than that. So that is in effect now since Dobbs. Immediately after Dobbs happened, Planned Parenthood, the ACLU of Kentucky, and the usual suspects sued. They went into the circuit court, which is the trial level court here in Kentucky, and they got an injunction against those laws, obviously not based on Roe v. Wade or Casey anymore, but on the basis of an alleged right of privacy in the Kentucky Constitution. Attorney General of Kentucky has appealed, obtained a stay of that injunction from the circuit court. So as of today, most abortions are illegal in Kentucky, and that's the case that we're involved in. The Supreme Court has scheduled a hearing on it for November 15th, which incidentally is a 1 week after there appears on the Kentucky ballot a proposed amendment which would specify that there is no right to abortion contained in the Kentucky Constitution. So Supreme Court obviously wants to wait and see what the voters have to say, because that will largely determine the case, at least in our view. So that's basically what's going on here.
On the because you're in Kentucky, based in Kentucky too, Frank, on the amendment, is there polling out on that? I know our ACLJ Action were involved in those amendments throughout the country, because there's some that are saying, you know, recognize a right to privacy, which means recognize a right to abortion in the Constitution. There's others that are in the negative. This one is in the negative. It's to not, that there is not a right to abortion in the Constitution. Has there been any polling yet on it that we're getting close to election now? We're about a month out.
There hasn't been any polling that I've been able to find, Jordan. And it's a little bit concerning.
Yeah.
One of the things that concerns me most is the money that has been flowing into Kentucky. mostly on the pro-abortion side. I don't have the numbers before me, but I looked at them yesterday. And let's put it this way, whereas the pro-abortion side's funding figures for their advertising campaign is in the tens of millions, it looks like the pro-life side is still trying to get to 1 million. So the TV ads are already out, and I've only seen them on the pro-abortion side. They're very slick. They're very smooth. They're also very misleading and deceptive. But I suspect they'll be effective for a lot of people.
Yeah, so I mean, this is the interesting part about this, Frank, is that we're so used to dealing with this at a federal level and being really all of it being held up by ultimately federal courts, circuit courts, maybe the Supreme Court. Now that things have opened up because of Dobbs, we're in state courts all across the country. What is the makeup like of the Kentucky Supreme Court?
Well, it's interesting that they granted a stay of the lower court's injunction in a 4-3 vote. It's a 7-member court. So that's a good sign. It's not determinative of what they're going to say on the merits of the case. And obviously they'll have to go to a considerable degree by what the people say on November 8th. But here's a factor in Kentucky that we try to alert them to. Basically, what we've said to the Supreme Court is you don't want to go down the road of the Supreme Court and the federal courts after Roe v. Wade and become a super legislature, the nation's ex officio medical board, getting involved in every decision involving the medical procedure of abortion. You just don't want to do that. And that leads to a sort of institutionally debilitating factor, which Justice O'Connor first diagnosed way back in the 70s, that gets the court out of its lane and not what it should be doing. And these are decisions that should be left to the people. And in Kentucky, think about this. This is an elected Supreme Court. So if the Supreme Court of Kentucky injects itself in this and says, oh, we're going to find a constitutional right of privacy that covers abortion, the Kentucky Supreme Court elections are going to become the equivalent of what we've seen in presidential campaigns and U.S. Senate campaigns for the last 50 years. Talk about destroying the independence and impartiality of the judiciary. It will completely destroy it and will become nothing but a political body.
You know, Frank, as always, we appreciate the updates. We appreciate the work that we're doing. Also, just it is unique. And so, again, that's Frank Mannion, ACLJ senior counsel, and leading the charge here in protecting life in Kentucky and really all over the country. Frank is part of that significant life advocacy that we do here at the ACLJ. And it is different. You know, that's why I want to take those moments to, you know, I know you're not all in Kentucky, but there's strategies going on in every state. Some are very different. And so I appreciate Frank joining us because this was what we were talking about in the post-Dobbs era. It's not that, you know, you're outside of federal court now. And suddenly you're in these state Supreme Courts. These state Supreme Courts, sometimes they're partisan elected. Sometimes they're nonpartisan elections. Sometimes they're selected by, and there's like, votes to whether or not you want to keep a justice on the court or whether you would like someone new. And most people depending on the state, depending on how it's made up, feel like they have either not much to say or it's a lot of incumbency, depending on how it's made up. But this is where these cases are going to end up unless the voters take it really outside of the court. So they vote on these, you know, amendments to the Constitution or clearing up what the Constitution does not allow. So in Kentucky, you have this amendment being put forward that says we are not going to recognize a right to abortion inside our Constitution. In other states, it's the opposite. So you have to be very educated. If you're in one of those states that's got those ballot initiatives, be very educated and not be misled by confusing language. If you're confused on it, you should reach out to us. I mean, literally, that's part of the reason why we exist at the ACLJ. We have a lot of information on it at aclj.org/abortion. We've got a whole map of what was going on around the country when it comes to abortion rights. So aclj.org/abortion, and you can see your state. For instance, in South Dakota, there will be a preview of a potential amendment. And that amendment would enshrine a right to abortion. So we wanted to make sure that was clear to people when they see this for the first time. They'll see it in the November elections. And then if they agree to move forward, then, you know, you can gather the signatures to actually get it on the ballot next. So some of these are going to be a couple more years from now where we have more time to educate people. But as, you know, you just heard from Frank, others were passed in case the Supreme Court did what they did by overturning Dobbs. Go to aclj.org. Support our work. Second half hour coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We have a great show, a lot of great segments coming up for you to listen today. Will Haynes joining me in the studio right now. Later in the show, you're going to hear from some experts like Mike Pompeo. We're going to talk about what he's going through. We're also talking about the work we're doing in terms of life and what this all means in a post-Roe world. Will, people need to stay tuned.
That's right. So we are fortunate here at the ACLJ because of the support of the ACLJ members and community that we have experts like Mike Pompeo that can come on and really break down things like when you hear the President of the United States say things about nuclear Armageddon and what that means.
Yes, you are going to hear from him. Mike Pompeo, as Will said, due to your support of the ACLJ, which I encourage you, I always encourage this. Not only go to ACLJ.org to donate, we appreciate that. I really would appreciate it. Obviously, if you can, please do. But go there and read the incredible content. Go there and watch the incredible content put together by our team. People like Mike Pompeo, Rick Grenell, they're part of our team. These aren't just, you know, random contributors that you're seeing on TV talking heads. These are guys who are part of our team who are involved in the issues that we deal with each and every day and that you have to deal with. So go to ACLJ.org. You should read up on some of the stuff they've put out over the last few years. And there's years of content available there right now. I think people use that website. They use it, again, to donate and support. They use it sometimes to watch our daily broadcasts. But you should really go deep dive into the content that's there because it's really great. But today, you're going to hear from Secretary Pompeo specifically on things like what you said. When the President of the United States makes these sort of grandiose thoughts and threats of or threatens with nuclear war potentially coming to our soil and to, you know, coming from Russia and what this all means. And that's why, unlike a lot of organizations, we hire the best of the best. We find people who really know what they're talking about. So you're talking about a former Secretary of State who is part of our team who can really comment when stuff like this happens to hopefully give you not only maybe some comfort, but some understanding globally what it all means.
Also, we are going to be getting into some of the life issues that the ACLJ is working on. We always said that once the Supreme Court decides, and if they do decide to get rid of Roe versus Wade decision, that the fight doesn't end there. The fight begins there because then the states are going to have all different sorts of laws, all different sorts of restrictions or
non-restrictions. It's actually a lot more work, a lot more aggressive work that has to be done, like you said, on a state-by-state away. And look, even if your state had a trigger law or something that went into place, that doesn't mean that's permanently in place. For a lot of these states, we know this is going to be what happens to the ballot box. It's activated a lot of people, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, it's activated a lot of people to go vote and to get involved in this midterm election. And maybe more so, they maybe want to pitch that more than it is, but it's true and it's making a big impact. So we're going to break down that as well and hear about how we're doing this across the country because we are, again, going state by state with the ACLJ to make sure that these laws are either protected or new laws are being created.
And we started doing that even before the Dobbs decision came out. But what you're going to hear today is some of the direct action that's going on right now in states like Oklahoma and states like Kentucky where the left and Planned Parenthood and the big abortion lobby is pushing hard to try to get rid of some of these restrictions on abortion. And they're almost trying to relitigate Roe versus Wade. They're trying to have a bunch of mini Roe versus Wades across the country, much like in Roe versus Wade, where they found the right to abortion in the United States Constitution. They're now trying to do that same game plan again.
State by state.
in 50 different constitutions. Yeah. So it's a real fight. Our attorneys are on it, but you're going to hear about some of that today as well.
Yeah, when their big hope that President Biden does what he says he's going to do and somehow figures out a way to codify Roe into law. We're going to talk about that and so much more on this broadcast. Again, I want to encourage you, if you're watching this on social media, like, share, do all those things. We want you to do that. So if you're watching on Facebook, like and share. If you're watching this on YouTube, give it a thumbs up. If you're watching on Rumble, hit the plus or the thumbs up, depending on which way you see it. And comment, make sure you're part engaged. But also, visit ACLJ.org, download the ACLJ app, get involved. Unlike a lot of sources you go to news, you can't really talk back. You can't really get involved. Here you can. You can call into our radio show, you can comment, you can do so many different things. But also, you can support the work of the ACLJ, which directly gets you involved in the fight. That is at ACLJ.org. Again, go to ACLJ.org to support the work today. See our incredible content. It's on there each and every day, brand new stuff. But also, you can support and make your donation if you can. We know it's hard right now. If you can, please do. Hey, welcome back to Seculo. This is Jordan Seculo. By the way, a big election integrity win out of Georgia. We're going to get to that later in the broadcast. Rick Rennell is also going to be joining us later in the broadcast. But we did want to focus in on this. So put the ad up on the screen again. Because even when you put it up on the screen, depending on where you're watching and how you're watching the show, of course, many of you are listening to the show, but the big text is, need an abortion? California is ready to help. Learn more at abortion.ca.gov. Then in very small text for any wherever this is running, whether it's a banner ad, whether it's a billboard, there's a Bible verse. And obviously put there to cause this issue. Mark 12:31, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. And then underneath that, you will see paid for by Newsom for California governor in 2022. Now, obviously, you aren't seeing ads about going to get an abortion in California. So right now, where are they running? Indiana, Mississippi, Ohio, Texas, South Carolina, South Dakota, and Oklahoma. My question is this. Who in those states is really looking up at that ad saying, you know what, that Bible verse, that encourages me to want to go get the abortion?
Well, that's
it. To me, it's almost like
a slap in the face of people that take the Bible
of faith.
Verse. Yeah, seriously.
And also, maybe you think twice before an abortion when you read a Bible verse like that.
I would think so. So probably backfires, but the fact that they used it.
And he's spinning like this.
That's what's unbelievable to me. Now, you know, interesting, in South Dakota, we just got word that on October 18th, we're going to be arguing before the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals, a pro-life piece of legislation that after Dobbs should be, I'm surprised they're even having an argument, on informed consent. So we've got that going on October 18th. But you have to look at this and saying this is the depths to which the pro-abortion industry, and I'm putting Gavin Newsom in that industry, the depths to which they will go to get their way and to get their message out. But then, I mean, adding the Bible verse to it does add a level of insult. It just does.
Well, yeah, and I think that was probably the intention all along. You know, California, once again, Governor Newsom's not content to just be governor of California. He's going to, you know, take his liberal beliefs and spread them into the more conservative states that have decided on their own that they're going to protect life. They're going to protect the life of the unborn baby. And, you know, Governor Newsom can't stand that. So he's putting these billboards up in those states. And again, like you said, using a Bible verse, it's offensive to me as someone who reads the Bible and believes in it. And I hope that it does backfire and it's offensive to people who read
it. This is also coming out of the governor of California. California is the state with New York that has gone the furthest in allowing abortion, right, including the perinatal issue that we've discussed so many times. But they're also the state that is trying to regulate out of existence. We've already taken to the Supreme Court of the United States and won once. But the person that was trying to regulate these crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy resource centers, as they're now called, the guy that was doing that is now the Secretary of HHS. So this is the most hostile state in the, I would say New York and California, it'd be hard to tell which one. But California is certainly even more in your face than New York right now with this ad and that Bible verse.
Right, and they're trying to spread their pro-abortion stance across the board, across the United States. If you live in a state now that believes that you should protect the life of a child in the womb, you know, Governor Newsom has now targeted you and is coming after you. And the perinatal law that we have fought the whole time in California, That law right now, it has passed, and it's sitting on his desk waiting to be signed. And if he doesn't sign it before the end of the month, it will become law, and California will not be able to investigate deaths of children after they're born.
That is so absurd, but this tells you the level at which they will go to get the way. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, and we want to know your reaction to this ad and this move by California's governor. 1-800-684-3110. Coming up in the next segment, as Jordan said, big win on election integrity. Let's go take the next call, Jordan.
Yeah, I was going to read Irene's comment on YouTube. Said he should be very careful in mocking God. Yeah. I think anytime you're invoking scripture, you better be sure scripture's on your side. And does some thought. Because when you get willy-nilly with it, which is what this is.
Oh, this is yes.
This is just pulling something and say, let's throw this on the ad too to get more attention.
Right.
He wants us to be talking about it right now. So that's part of his goal. Doesn't like the way we're talking about it, but it also means the left is talking about it as provocative. I think when you start playing with the Bible verses to be provocative, you better make sure you're right. Because, again, you're messing with a much higher power than governors or presidents or leaders of the world. And to me, it also is trying to take back the abortion debate to the Protestant church, which it used to kind of sit in as a place where, no, it was pro-abortion. That was actually not in conflict with scripture.
True. I mean, I think that's exactly right. Let's go ahead and take Nancy's call. She's calling from California. We're taking others at 1-800-684-3110. Nancy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So glad you're touching base on this. Sure. I am from California, a Christian for over 25 years. This is a guilt campaign. And so you're using scripture to guilt somebody into believing like they have to give a life in order, you know, to fulfill this scripture. I mean, my concern is we've seen a recent falling away from the church, going woke, CRT, BLM, et cetera. Even Franklin Graham used this scripture when he wanted everybody to get the vaccine. And people lined up for it. Do you think this is going to work?
I think the scripture, which is Jesus said is the greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, there's no greater commandment than these, is that those were the words of Jesus. And this guy, this governor, is using it. I'm going to say what Jordan said. I believe he's using this at his own peril. I think he uses it. And I'm not saying the wrath of this or the wrath of that. I'm just saying it is a nasty heightening of this issue. That shows you they will go at any length to put forward their view on this.
Right. And right in the face of the Bible and the Word of God. And like you said, these were Jesus's words. And the fact that he's putting this on a billboard saying, kill your baby, which is completely against anything a Christian believes and the Lord believes. Life is precious and should be protected. It is flying in the face. And there is a higher power here. And he does need to be concerned about that.
But Jordan, this was no accidental. They put this. They thought about this before they put it on that ad.
Yeah, I mean, this is a political ad. So it's paid for. This wasn't paid for by the state of California. Because Lord knows the atheists might get involved in and say, you can't put that on the ad.
Right.
But here, what he did was he took his political campaign account, which he's been doing uniquely around the country. And
why is he doing that?
To build a national profile. Gavin Newsom wants to be a name. Which he already was a pretty big name being governor of California, but he wants to be a name considered in the top. And he already jumps to like the top of the field. He's like a DeSantis in the sense that he is kind of a major state governor who on the left, like DeSantis does on the right, makes a lot of news for pretty radical policies for the left. So throwing the Bible verse in there, I think, again, it's trying to reshape the issue. I think it's very dangerous. I think it would backfire in most of the states where he's running this, like in Indiana and Mississippi, because I don't think anyone's reading the Bible to say, go out and intentionally take another life.
No, but you know, it's interesting because this is on the legal point, and that this is coming in from Richard on YouTube, and he asks, how can he use campaign funds to do this?
Yeah.
Now, the campaign funds are pretty broad in where they can be used, but you do have to ask yourself, I mean,
you've got to be registering with the states to do
this. Of course.
Yeah.
Why? What does this have to do, and you do a lot of that law, what does this have to do with his campaign, other than he's building his national profile?
That's right.
For his next campaign.
So as long as, he's not violating any California law by spending outside of the state, which I'm sure he's got teams of lawyers that made sure that's the case and you register the right way in these states, you could utilize the funds this way. Now, most political candidates would say, why? Are my donors really okay with that? His obviously are ready for him to take the next step. They want him to be considered to be the front runner to be the presidential nominee if Joe Biden does not run. I think people saw that CBS interview and they think there's a pretty good chance this guy does not make it to a second term.
Well, he's good because he's pretty much said it. Now, we're getting a lot of calls from California. Let me just say 800-684-3110. Let's take Jeannie on line two. Jeannie, go ahead.
Hey, Jeannie.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. Yeah, I just want to give a sort of a different perspective than maybe some of the callers prior to me. And that is that I want to encourage any caller, anyone is listening anywhere in California, if your pastor is not stepping up at the pulpit and calling this out, I urge you, two things. Get another pastor. Get another church if you're not going to be in a church that they're calling this stuff out. But I just think that the church has remained silent on this for far too long. This is exactly what we saw in Nazi Germany.
Well, I don't think the church has been... I appreciate everything you said, Jeannie, and I appreciate your enthusiasm. But let me tell you, I don't think the church is actually being silent. Listen, we just saw the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Yep. So let's put this in perspective, okay? So of course they're running Bible verses to try to justify their evil position. Because they just had a gigantic defeat at the Supreme Court of the United States. The case they feared the most, they just lost, basically 6-3. 5 to overturn Roe, 6 saying the law in Mississippi was constitutional. So of course they're going to add Bible verses to their signs to try to promote this, because that's what they're doing. They're doubling down on it. But I don't think it's fair to say that the country's asleep and the church is asleep. The fact of the matter is, it was the pulpits talking about abortion for 45 years that kept this movement going, and it was the spiritual leaders of our country that were on the front lines defending life. I know that because I defended them for 40 years. So I know who was out there doing this and promoting. I used to go to those prayer meetings with those pastors at 5 o'clock in the morning in Atlanta, Georgia. So I know how they were doing it. So I appreciate the enthusiasm, but I want to give credit where credit's due. It goes to God, but these pastors were motivated, and so were members of the church. I think that's why we saw a great victory in Dobbs.
Secular, the American Center for Law and Justice, we just filed an amicus brief in the Oklahoma Supreme Court in defense of the state's abortion ban. The brief was filed on behalf of the ACLJ. More than 127,000 ACLJ supporters, including 2,200 in Oklahoma, and 41 members of the Oklahoma Senate and House, including sponsors of the bill that we are defending. One of those sponsors, lead sponsors, who has also assisted us in bringing in those legislators to our brief, is joining us now on the phone, the majority floor leader of the Oklahoma State House, John Eccles. And John, we appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Leader Eccles, for being with us today. I want to start the conversation and appreciate your efforts on this. You know, Oklahoma has a history of saying that abortion is not in the state's constitution, but that's the new attack of the pro-abortion groups to have it as part of the constitution. How do you see it playing out, and what are your constituents thinking about this?
Well, first, thanks so much for having me on, and thank you for continuing in this fight to life. As you have said, you are instrumental in defending the bill that the Oklahoma legislature passed, that I'm honored to be the primary House sponsor of the bill that was the elected people's representative said, we are going to respect life at all ages, including that of the womb. I think the next step in the fight after we win this legal challenge with your help, showing this is an issue that's decided for the state, you can't come find it under the Oklahoma Constitution, but that will be the next fight that will be coming in, showing just as Roe was wrongly decided, there is no right to death under the Constitution. There's that same right doesn't exist under the Oklahoma Constitution.
You know, this is interesting, Leader Eccles, because, and CeCe Howell's with us, a senior attorney for the ACLJ, we have filed this brief, is being filed now. We have just filed in Kentucky and are about to file in two other states. So this is a pattern is developing. We said this would go to the states. It has gone to the states.
Right. We have about 9 states that we've filed in. Two, we'll file in 2 more this week, and then we have, I think, 5 more that we will file. So there's 9 that we are watching and engaging on.
So let me ask you this, Leader Eccles, and in looking at your support within your two bodies of your legislature there in Oklahoma, how strong is this pro-abortion lobby? Because in Washington, they are still, look, I mean, the truth of the matter is Planned Parenthood is huge and they're still a huge force. What are you seeing on the state level?
Oh, they're huge, and they're very well funded on the state level. Even in states like Oklahoma, the pro-abortion lobby has tons of money, and they use it to attack legislators like myself and several others who are in metro areas that have a strong right-to-life stance. But here's what we're finding. What we found is when you give the issue to the states, which is where it should have been from the very beginning, we have a federal system on purpose. States are independent underneath the main sovereign of the United States. But this is an issue that always should have been left to the states. The citizens of the state of Oklahoma are standing up to the big money. And they're saying, this is not what we want. We want life protected. We want a culture of life in all areas. But make no mistake, whether you're talking about Kansas, what happened in that election, yep, or whether you're talking about here in Oklahoma, there is big money in the abortion lobby, and it is being spent everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Leader Eccles, we talked about this. We have a C4 ACLJ action, and what we've been trying to kind of get out through the education process is there is a opportunity here post-Roe. We knew if this day came and preparing for it, and we all were preparing for the possibility of it, is that we have to do a massive education campaign that, yes, there's the votes, there's the electoral side of it, the politics side of it, but part of that is educating voters, whether it's these ballot amendments that we're seeing that are really drawn and written up in a way that are confusing. We had one out of South Dakota where we were able to help clarify that if it does make it to the ballot, the first line is, this will enshrine a right to abortion in our state constitution. But it takes educating folks. I know, talk to people a little bit about that too, just talking to your constituents, talking to voters about what's true and what's propaganda.
Well, and I'd also like to, if it's okay, talk specifically to listeners about what the ACLJ and you guys are doing with that wing. As a matter of fact, I've talked to your organization several times. You've helped me with messaging. You've helped me with ideas. You're involved in the state level. I know in Oklahoma, I mean, as the majority floor leader, we've had multiple conversations. The key is speaking truth and being able to go to our constituents and saying, here's what is really happening out there. Here's the real facts. And you guys have been on the forefront of that, and I'm appreciative, even here, not just on the national level, but even here in Oklahoma.
Well, it's because, and we appreciate your leadership on this, John, because the fact of the matter is this is now returned to the states. And education, like Jordan just said, is a big part of this. Litigation is a big part of it, as CeCe was talking about in the briefs. But this is a real challenge for the United States and to see where we come down state by state on this.
Yeah, and it's interesting that in Oklahoma, when once again they're trying to say we're going to create a right by litigation, not go through the constitutional amendment process, but trying to amend the Constitution through litigation. What's interesting to note is that your Oklahoma Supreme Court has specifically stated that they have never found an abortion right in the Constitution yet.
Since Planned 1936.
Parenthood, that's right. Planned Parenthood will fight and fight and fight, even when you have at the highest court saying there is no right in the Constitution.
So Leader Eccles, how is your Supreme Court there in Oklahoma?
You know, our Supreme Court in Oklahoma is to the left of the majority of the Oklahoma citizens, but I will say I believe they're going to get this right.
Okay.
So I believe with the help of the ACLJ and other organizations, I believe they are going to get this right. And it's also important to note, CeCe, that we have an initiative petition process in Oklahoma. If citizens really thought this was popular and they could win it on a ballot, they could circulate it and get a constitutional change on our ballot. But they don't, because they know it's unpopular, because they know it's not in the Supreme Court. They know it's not what the citizens want. And that's why they're trying to do judicially what they could never do through the political process.
And I think that's what we're seeing, Leader Eccles, from across the country is their strategy. It changes state to state.
Yep.
Some states they look at, they say, hey, we can win this at the ballot box. We'll leave the courts out. When they have to rely on the courts to create the right, that's their like last step. We know that that's when they're in the most trouble, is when you have to go to a court to say, hey, read a right into a constitution that's not there. But we also, like you said, you can't just take that as a, well, the court's just going to throw that. We've taken it very seriously. That's what we're doing at the ACLJ. That's why I put together this brief with your colleagues, with our supporters, and with Oklahomans.
Yeah, John, we appreciate your leadership as the floor leader, majority floor leader in Oklahoma, and we'll have you back on as this case develops. Thanks for your hard work on this.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate all you do.
I just need to say right at the outset here, folks, I mean, we're engaging this literally state by state. And your support of the ACLJ is critical. We've got an email going out today. If you don't get our email alerts or text messages, sign up for it at the website or at aclj.org or any of our social media platforms. And we talk about the fact that we've got basically, they've unleashed, that with this, what we've said, they got that Planned Parenthood and those groups have unleashed a blitzkrieg of lawsuits trying to right to abortion in the Constitution. And then at the same time, they are trying to damage the crisis pregnancy center's ability to even operate.
Right. They're going after it twofold. Well, probably fivefold, actually, because they go through ballot initiatives. They go through litigation. And then, of course, they attack the groups that are on the front lines, the crisis pregnancy centers that are actually helping to save babies. So Planned Parenthood hasn't given up just because the Dobbs decision. They've just reengaged and they're doing more, actually.
So what we're going to encourage you to do is support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You can do that at aclj.org. I encourage you, if you're able to donate, give us some support, aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Hey, by the way, today, this afternoon, a new podcast from Secular Brothers is being released. You can find out and subscribe to the Secular Brothers podcast. It's on all of our social media applications, but also on podcast sites around the country.
That's right. Seculobrothers.com. SekuloWBrothers.com. We'll be back in the studio this afternoon with a new episode today.